Thank you. It's good to be here with you today. Basically, what I'll do is...
I'm Kevin Good. I've been with Cattle Facts for about 27 years. On a day-to-day basis, I handle responsibility, a lot of feed yard responsibilities in Kansas, Oklahoma, Southern Colorado. I work with our corporate clients as well on the road two or three times a month giving presentations. When we think about the beef industry and the importance of the dairy industry, I think that's what I want to impart on you today is how important the dairy portion is to the beef industry. Dairy, as we think about it, milk, cheese, and those protein products, yes, that's your number one source of income. But the salvage value of the cow is extremely important as well. And I think as we go forward, as things are as tough as they are economically, I think it only makes good common sense that we put more emphasis as a dairy industry on that byproduct or that salvage value of that cow at the end of her productive life. With that, I'm just going to go through a presentation, basically showing some different things. Here we just put a pie chart together to show the importance of dairy breeds to beef production. And you can see the different slices of the pie. The biggest portion of beef production comes from fed beef of beef breeds. But the red portion is fed beef that comes from dairy breeds. Of course, that's a long-term average. With feed prices the way they are, certain times that'll be smaller or larger. But just to give the importance. The other three slices, the 2% is slaughter bull production. And the other two, the 6% is non-fed beef production coming from dairy cows. And the 7% is non-fed beef production coming from beef breeds. And, of course, the dairy herd is about 20% or 22% of the total herd comparing beef to dairy. But, of course, we turn the females over that much more rapid, so that percentage is that much closer. Over time, we've had some structural changes within the dairy industry, and I think we want to illustrate that over the next couple slides. This is looking at the size of herds 500 head and above versus those below 500 head. And you can see that over time, the larger operators are making a bigger and bigger impact on your business. Almost 50% of all the inventory today is held in dairy herds of 500 head or above. And that trend is very distinct, and this is a 10-year trend where it's basically gone from 25% to 50%. You would expect that trend to continue just from a structural change standpoint, consolidation. It's not only in the dairy business, we see it in the cattle business, beef business, pork, poultry, all the way across. From a regional standpoint, we'll look at that. This is just looking at the first of 08, dairy cow numbers by state. Of course, the upper Midwest and the Northeast traditionally has been your stronghold for dairy numbers. Still represents the volume, but you can see more and more of that production and number shift taking place in the West, also in the Northwest in the state of Idaho. To look at it another way here, we just lump those Western states together and see what they represent. They represent about 36% of the total dairy herd is in the Western U.S. today. And you can see how that's grown over time over the last 20 years. Another way to look at that is just the rate of gain or the rate of decline. Here we compared the West versus the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes states. And you can see the rate of growth in the West over the last 18 years has been almost 3% a year. The opposite of that would be what we've seen in the upper Midwest and the Great Lakes states, where we've seen about a 1.6% decline on a yearly basis. The exception there, though, would be the last 4 years. The dairy herd as a total has increased, we think, January 1st numbers, which will come out tomorrow from USDA, will show that 2008 was an expansion year again in the dairy business, fifth year in a row. We don't think that'll occur again this year, and we'll talk about that because of milk prices. But the last 4 years, even the upper Midwest and the Northeast states held their own, although they continue to see the bigger gain in the Western states. Cost inflation, it's not only affected everybody in this room in the dairy business, also the cattle business, the pork business, the poultry business. We're downsizing pretty much all animal proteins this year versus last. This is one of those contributing factors. Cost inflation, we looked at it compared to 2000. In this illustration, of course, We use this when we talk to beef producers. So we're talking about a 5.5 weight steer calf off the cow. But you can see the increase in input cost across the board. And I think the key there is input costs have increased more rapidly than our end product. If we looked at a milk chart, and here we're looking at a milk future chart, again, we talked about 2000, how those input costs have increased. Look what milk prices have done. If you looked at the far left-hand side, milk prices in 2000 were running between $9 and $11 per hundredweight. As input costs have increased, milk prices generally have increased as well. But look what's happened since the middle part of last year. You think about the production gains we've had in the milk business. At the same time, the second half of last year with the financial crisis, the fact that a lot of our export markets were basically shut down, and not only in your business, but just in all protein business, we're more and more dependent on that global economy, on export trade. As that slowed down, domestic prices, of course, took a hit pretty much all the way across the board. And now we're at a point where we've had some very severe losses in your business to a tune that we're now starting to see a pretty rapid slaughter rate if we looked at dairy cows. This is last year's commercial slaughter was up 9% in 2008. Of that increase, 12% increase on the beef cow side. It was only a 3% increase in the dairy cow side for 2008. We're estimating for 2009 that total cattle slaughter will be down about 3%. We think beef cow slaughter will be down about 300,000. Right now, we've got dairy cow slaughter estimated to be up about 150 to 200,000. That's what we're thinking today. Now, if a dairy termination program were to come into play, it could be larger than that. The first week in January, dairy cow slaughter for that first week was the largest weekly dairy cow slaughter in 20 years. And so we do think because of the economic losses, we're starting to see quite a few dairy cows come to town and try to pull production back in line. Beef cow numbers, we talked about that, declining last year, down about 2%. You can see the trend in the beef cow industry. Really, we've liquidated in the beef cow side 11 of the last 13 years. On the dairy cow side, this is estimate that the first of this year, we were up 100,000 head, or again, that fifth year in a row where we saw some expansion. We would think this year, though, will be a contraction year for the dairy industry because of profitability. Calf slaughter is another factor that we've seen. It was increased this past year. A lot of that was at input cost, and what do you do in the veal business? What happens to those calf values? You can see the long-term trend as far as historically a larger percentage of the Holstein bull calves end up in fed beef production versus the veal production is a long-term trend. Short-term, because of grain prices as volatile as they've been and input cost, we've seen some variety or variation there. This past year, calf slaughter was up quite a bit. The next two slides will talk about harvest cow prices and kind of the impact of increased slaughter levels. We went back and looked over the last 10 years, and assuming everything else was equal as far as imports, demand, especially for 90% trim grinding product, and said, what is a change in slaughter rate worth to price? And what we came back with is for every million cow change up or down, there's about a $6.62 per hundredweight change in that cow value. And so if you were to say for this year that cow slaughter would increase by 300,000 head, it'd be about a $2 a hundredweight change. Multiply that out, it's about $25 a head. And so what you could see from a harvest cow standpoint, if we were to see a situation where a large number of cows were dumped on the market, especially in a shorter period of time, it would have an adverse effect on cow prices, and that would also trickle in, of course, into fed cattle prices. As you think about timing, and it's easier time in a lot of cases on the beef cow side than the dairy cow side as far as where you harvest those cows, but I think it's increasingly important to remember or recognize the seasonality of cow prices, and as far as it is, I think it will become a bigger part of your bottom line or your decision-making to bring more profit into your business, to remember that the cow market is very seasonal. You know, the majority of the cows that run, especially on the beef cow side, they come in the fall after we wean the calf. She's open, she goes to town in a lot of cases. And so you can see that the fourth quarter, if we have an opportunity, is a time to avoid cows going to town. The opposite of that is as we get into the second and the third quarter of the year, typically tighter cow slaughter as well as improved demand, especially for the grind product, the hamburger product. That's the time of the market that you'd like to hit. So something to keep in mind and something to remember, especially the way you string your cows out on the harvest side. And so something to think there. With that, that's what I had for you today. As we get into the panel discussion, we'll be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.